Yo, yo, what's going on, big dogs? Welcome into another episode of Adams Plus One. This episode features Kalina Kasky. Kalina is a mindset and confidence coach who draws from her transformative journey and passion for helping others. Kalina emboldens her clients to embrace their authentic selves and cultivate unwavering self-belief and confidence so that they can unlock their potential and conquer any challenge that comes their way. In this episode, Kalina defines what it means to be a life coach and how that differs from therapy. We also discuss the hurdles Kalina faced starting up her coaching business. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please give it a share. Let's dive in. We're going to talk about coaching first, your coaching. Mm-hmm. Could you just define for listeners the type of coaching that you offer, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's just start there.
No, yeah, definitely. So for me, I kind of, you know, there's like coaching is very broad. You can do so many different styles of coaching. But for me, when I was thinking about like how I wanted to niche down and like what I wanted to coach around, like what my experience is in, things like that, everything that I explored came back to mindset and confidence, because it's insane like how many areas of your life that those two aspects affect without even realizing it. Like they affect everything that we do, every decision that we make. So for me, I chose like that's broad enough. We can get specific based on the client needs. And so I keep it to general like mindset and confidence coaching, just because that can go anywhere. And let's be honest, like we all need a confidence boost or a mindset shift here and there. So I really like work with individuals to kind of explore where they're being held back by their own mindset or their like limiting beliefs, and help them navigate how to overcome that and shift to thinking more like positively, and shifting their mindset to be like from a place of abundance versus scarcity sometimes, and you know, building confidence. And a lot of times you think confidence just thinking about like body confidence and physical confidence, and it's much deeper than that. And I've learned that in order to even improve your like confidence physically, you have to start with like your mental confidence and how you're looking at yourself and talking to yourself, like in your own mind day to day, and about every aspect of your life. Because until you start to get that together, the physical confidence that you create is kind of just like surface level. Very, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh my gosh, superficial. They're very superficial. It needs to go deeper in order to actually build like unshakable confidence. And it's something that like, we're not born with it. We have to like learn how to master it and how to have confidence. And it's not just like, okay, I feel like I learned it. Now I'm going to go for the rest of my life. You always have to like, it's always going to sneak up at you. On you at different points of your life, whether it be like a career change, relationship change, anything like that, that you're going to have to kind of rework it, because you're sensing yourself kind of start to like revert back into like that negative self-talk or limiting beliefs or like not thinking you're good enough. So you're always going to have to work at it. It's just about like getting to a point where you know how to navigate it and like maneuver around it when it starts to come up again.
Yeah, I feel like I did a podcast a few months ago, because this is something I find fascinating. You know, I have friends, I think I said it in the podcast episode, like you have people that are like, man, why are you always listening to like speeches by Les Brown or like Arnold, like mm-hmm. that I always go back to, right? Like old TV shows that you always go to. But you listen to them because it's like you got to shower your mindset. You got to keep it clean. Otherwise, it does creep mm-hmm. up on you. It's like preventative maintenance. You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
you go,
definitely.
It's just like slowly by slowly. Next thing you know, you're like, why is my mindset maybe negative? Or why is my confidence become, what I thought was unshakable, has become shook, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, well, and it's so hard with social media, all the like the news and every like all the negativity that's out there, to kind of preserve your peace and like your space for your own mental well-being, including like confidence and mindset, because it's so easy to let like all that negativity and like societal pressures and standards like trickle in. And before you know it, like what you thought was a solid, sound, like mindset and confidence is now just like crumbling or like non-existent. And it's really about, and I had a mentor, or like several years ago, tell me the like theory of like, you are the sum of the five people you surround yourself with. And it's like, not just five people, but like, that's just makes the saying easier. And I never really believed it until I started to like, you know, move past my own limiting beliefs and like look at my confidence and really seeing like how the people around me and that I interact with the most are really impacting like how I think about myself and what I want my own life to look like. And it's not that like you have to cut those people out, but it's just really identifying like who are your, and I had another coach tell me like identifying your 7-star team members or something like that, like who feeds into you in the most positive ways and like supports you is what you want to, who you want to interact with most, essentially.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Okay. That was awesome, by the way. Like, I love this so much. Like, this is so good. I'm just over here smiling. And if I'm on mute,
I'm winging it.
No, you're doing great. You're well-trained. If I'm on mute, it's because I got a little background noise. So if you see me smiling and shaking my head, just so you know,
you're good.
I'm with you.
I also apologize in advance if you hear any dog barking at any point.
We love dogs in the plus one. Everyone's perfect. Dog-friendly. It's a dog-friendly environment. So you laid that out really well. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And you kind of touched on your niche of mindset and confidence, right? In the space. How does this coaching differ from what people think of like therapy or mentorship? Like, what's the difference here? Can you lay that out?
Yeah, absolutely. There is like, now I know there's a big difference because I kind of always thought they were like similar, just called themselves something different. And coaching does have some aspects, like depending on the client, there might be certain circumstances where you have to like switch your hat, but it does like between like consulting, mentoring, coaching, sometimes like those go hand in hand, just depending on the situation and the client need. But therapy is very different from coaching in the sense that coaching is an approach of like you partner with your client to help guide them and create like the goals and the commitments that they want to make to achieve the results that they want to see. And so that's like the client's the expert. You don't provide, like you don't have the answers for the client. They are the expert on their life. You just help them to find those answers themselves by asking like powerful questions and like digging deeper. You like, unless the client specifically asks for it or you ask permission, like you don't give answers. You don't give, like, it's not prescriptive. It's very much a partnership, a collaboration, like you work together to determine the goals that are right for that client or in the path, like what makes sense to get them there. So it's really focused on that. And coaching is very centered around like future outlook rather than like living in the past. So you might like explore things from the past of like, okay, well, where is this thought rooted? Where is that coming from? But the whole point of coaching is to get you to your desired future. With therapy, it's different in the sense that therapy is very much focused on identifying like past traumas or like issues that you need to work through. And therapy is more prescriptive and sometimes diagnostic. So a lot of times, like your therapist might give you answers or might prescribe you something to work towards or work on to help you get there. But it is very much like identifying past traumas or dysfunctions that you need to work through. And like consulting, on the other hand, is very like advice driven. You're brought in because you're an expert on something based on like your experience or your training. And you, a lot of times, like there's sometimes like an educational or teaching aspect to it, informational. But and with consulting, you a lot of times are responsible for the outcomes and the results. Whereas with coaching, since the client is the expert, you can be there, like you are a part of getting them to those results, but ultimately they're responsible for the actions they take to get them there.
That's perfect. The way you laid that out is great. I think an analogy that comes to my mind, right? Because I'm a sports guy, is like the therapy would be like, Adam, your jump shot is the way it is because that's how your dad shot the ball, or like genetically, that's how you're built to shoot a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching would be like, you shot 25% from three last year. We want to get you to 35%. what can we do together as partners, right, to
Yeah,
increase your shot
absolutely.
percentage? You know what I mean? It's all goal driven. I like that. That was really well, because I was thinking about that before, and I'm like, I'm curious how she's going to attack this question. So that really just like puts that concrete in my mind. Now I know the difference.
Yeah, and that's something that's like, as like a coach, as you first start coaching, sometimes it's hard to realize when, like, oh, I'm giving advice here, or like, I'm giving all that, like, you can give suggestions, you can give ideas about when you're talking with a client about something, but you really want to like let them take the lead first and see what comes up for them. And then if they need help asking permission, like, hey, here's another suggestion. Do you mind if I like, give it to you? So it's very different. And like I said, sometimes they do go hand in hand. I'll even like one the same session wear different hats sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because as you're coaching for like future aspects, future goals and outcomes, sometimes like it's not therapy, but clients like I myself have even done this when I've been in a coaching session, like someone coaching me, have a breakthrough and a realization of like, oh, that hit deep on like something like a traumatic something that I didn't even know was there. And it like it can be very healing, but like that's not the intention behind it.
Right. Yeah, that's not what you're trying to discover, but if you discover it along the way.
Yeah, it can be super powerful.
So this is kind of a side question on this topic. When you first started coaching, was it hard not to just give advice and just be the partner? Was it hard to like straddle that line? How hard was that to 'cause you had to
So
learn
hard.
that, right?
Yeah, and you got to be like my very first guinea pig, essentially. Yeah, it was so hard because I think as like humans in general, and especially people that have kind of, I almost wanted to say like the coaching gene, but like just like that natural pull towards coaching, our instinct is to fix, to provide, like to give the answers. And so it was very hard to like learn when to like hold back and ask the questions that would pull out like the answers and like the advice to like help them realize what they needed to do. And not just be like, okay, like here's what I'm seeing. What if you try that? Like just jump into it, or like, well, based on my experience, this is the advice I have. And I'm the type where like I do use a lot of like my own like life experience to drive like the style of coaching I provide and like sometimes the questions because I've been through something similar. And like that, especially when I like resonate with a client, I'm like, oh my God, I know exactly what you're going through. I just want to tell you how to fix it or like what worked for me. It's hard to like withhold that because you just want to help them get there. You want to like fix it for them and like they need to do it for yourself. And like being on the other side of it, like now that I've had a lot more coaches over the last couple of years, it's like for myself, it's like seeing how they put it into action has really helped. But sometimes it's even hard as like from the client standpoint of like, can't you just give me the answer? And like sure they could, like they 100% could, because I know like as a fellow coach and business owner, they've been there a lot of the time for what I'm looking for answers around, but they had to discover it on their own. Now they're able to just like help me do that.
Which, by the way, anyone listening will know that you mentioned I was your guinea pig. So I can disclose to them, I'm totally comfortable that you coached me for 6 weeks,
Yeah,
actually.
sorry.
Oh, yeah. And a few of the things we worked on that come to mind, one of them I'm sort of chuckling at right now is I have a tendency in a normal conversation to cut people off, right? And talk over people, which is something I'm always working on. You helped me with that. And then you also helped me with being off my phone, which is funny because a few weeks ago, Katie was like, "I think we need to go back to those Thursday afternoons where we put the phone in the drawer, right?" But one thing that I've taken from that experience working with you was I came up with that idea to put the phone in the drawer. You helped me get there, but you didn't tell me to do that, right? It was very much a partnership of, okay, the goal is to not spend so much time on the phone. How do we do that? What makes sense to you, right? You didn't tell me how to do it, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I think that was like one of my very first like moments. Like obviously, like I've coached friends and family for like years, like unofficially, not even realize I was doing it. But it was like the first, like since I had officially started coaching, where I was like, oh wow, like this was so powerful based on questions I asked. Like he was able to be like, here's what works for me, because we're all different. What works for one person may or may not work for someone else. A lot of the times, like our brain works differently. And I had to be like right there when you were talking about that, I was like trying not to die inside, because when my fiance listens to this, like hearing you say about how like you talk, like you cut people off, like he's still gonna be like, I still fight with her all the time to do this. But I like you and I, like we just get very excited and like
We
passionate about the
do.
conversation, and it's hard.
It's hard. Even, and then as a podcaster, as an interviewer, you can't be cutting people off. Now, what's great about this is you're locked in as an interviewer, but sometimes when you're in a conversation, it's easy. It's not a, you're not going to record this. There's no going to listen back to it. So you can get loose with your mechanics of letting people talk. So when my best friend Andrew Rett calls me, I do exactly what I'm doing now. I'm doing it now because I have background noise. But when I'm done talking and it's his turn to talk, I mute because then even if I have that natural tendency to start talking, it's not interrupting that person. And it almost trains me, it conditions me that, okay, let them talk, stop talking, go off of mute, and then go, right? Which is something we worked on, by the way. I did that last year,
I
so.
was gonna say, I think that's something we talked about, because I shared with you how I had to learn, like in my like 9 to 5 environment, when I needed to like mute and just let the silence sit so people could process. And that's like very, it goes against everything inside of me, being a very like talkative, extroverted person. So I've learned to like sometimes I even have to mute and then sit on my hands, just like let the awkwardness sit, like let it happen.
Yep, there was a board meeting. I'm on the YMCA board, and there was a board meeting where I just had to, like, you have to let other people have ideas, and I had 45 ideas, and I'm just like physically like the same way, right? Doing everything in my body, putting my hands under my legs. But yeah, we definitely relate on that very much so. So I guess the next question I'm curious about, as we segue away from kind of defining things and the differences between things. But what inspired you specifically to get into coaching? You mentioned that you were coaching family members. I'm sure people along the way have told you, hey, you know, you might as well do this professionally. But what inspired you to get into it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a journey, and it was honestly like I think I realized coaching was my purpose probably about 8 years ago, and it's just taken me almost a decade to actually like pursue it professionally. But even like growing up and all through school, all through high school, my instinct and my passion was always to like care about and help others. And I just never knew the best way for me to do that. So I think, like in high school, I always thought that like being a psychologist or a counselor was the only way to do that for a while. And then I like went to college, changed majors 3 times, and ended up like my degree is in nonprofit management. And I have not pursued that professionally yet, but that's like a long-term goal of mine. Like I want to get there. But I still just like really struggle. Like, I don't feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I went the corporate route. Well, in college, I did a lot of event planning, and it was focused a lot around like, like I did confidence events, body positivity, sexual assault awareness, things like that, that were centered around like, you're making people realize they're not alone. And I've always known that like my goal is to make a positive impact. Even if it's just on the people in my immediate sphere, then they can go. We like to say in the program I went through, change lives, because then they can go and change other lives. And that's always been like my ultimate goal. So it took years. And in college, actually, I worked at a tanning salon in Belvedere, and I would come home like on the weekends and work or spring breaks. And my manager there, the one time, because my mom worked there too, and one day I like popped in to visit when I was home for a weekend. And she made the comment of like, oh, everything's okay, like my life coach is here. And I started laughing, and I was like, oh my gosh, like what do you mean? And she goes, no, I'm serious, like when you're here, things like I just feel like okay, like things are gonna be okay, like however busy or crazy it is, or however like whatever like cranky customers you get in that day, like everything's gonna be okay. And I was like, oh, like do you know me? Like I'm pretty high strung actually, because she was like, you just have like a calming vibe. And she was like, it's a real thing. I saw this, like she was watching like Naked and Afraid or something, and the guy was like a life coach. And she goes, not that like how he looked, but like his personality, his demeanor, like his mindset really like reminded her of me. She was like, seriously, then I looked into it. It's a real thing. You should like definitely look at pursuing that at some point. So I started to look into it and I realized like, holy cow, like this is me. This is like what I embody. So yeah, like that was my goal. And then it just took me 8 additional years to get there. And kind of through my career, I realized like everything I've done has kind of been to get me closer to coaching, because I always thought like I had to have a lot more experience and a lot more credibility to get there. Because I always thought like, oh, coaches have to be perfect. They have to have their lives together. And now I know we all have our own coaches too. Like we're all working through it. Like Adam,
yeah.
When I first started coaching you, I learned so much during our time together. Like it really helped me and it taught me things. So like we're always like learning and getting coaching ourselves to constantly be growing and improving so that we can be the best coaches for our clients.
Definitely. I mean, if you were perfect, how could you help someone too, right? Because you've never been through anything, right? Like you've never struggled. So how are you going to help me with my struggle, right?
Exactly. And that's kind of actually like one of my clients gave me that feedback of like, because I'm so transparent. Sometimes they're on too transparent probably, but like, I'm very real, raw. Like I've been there. I'm going to show up to the call, how you're going to get me. And like share my experiences, and she shared that like she appreciates that, because and I've experienced it too, when you're like working with someone who's very like put together, professional, and like coming from a place of like a lot of success or like what you're trying to get to, but they don't share the journey to get to it, doesn't it's not as impact, like it doesn't feel as real or impactful like that.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that reminds me of, I work in corporate America, and people that get to know me, before you know it, they call me Big Dog or Dog, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, of course, at first it's, hey, it's Adam. And if we're on like a big call with like our director, right? Yeah, I'm going to be very professional. But as soon as it's like my team or another coworker, I am that like down to earth, man. Like, even if I was the VP of the company or whatever, like you call me Adam, you call me bro, whatever. Like, we're not. It's just too awkward. Like corporate speak is just weird to me. I understand its place, but it's not all the time, right? And when I come to a session with you, I don't want to feel like I have to mirror your body language of being upright and perfect. And I can't say, yeah, I was on the way in and I stubbed my fucking toe. You know what I mean? Because that happens, right? Which we can cuss on the podcast. But the point is, like, yeah, then you're not letting loose and relaxing to be coached. You're uptight in it. You're already uptight from your day and you're supposed to come here to decompress, right? So no, you have a very, I call it a soft landing for a coach, right? In a good way. Like you come to the session and you can breathe, right? Kalina's not going to be like, well, why the hell did you think that? Or judge you or anything like
right.
that.
Right. Well, and that's so important for coaching, is in order to get to breakthroughs and get where you want to go, you have to be vulnerable. And in order to be vulnerable, there has to be like an atmosphere of trust and just like relaxed. You have to be relaxed and trusting enough to be vulnerable and know that like this coach or this person sitting here isn't going to judge me. Like they're here to help me. And I tell people, I've had people like apologize for crying or getting emotional. And I'm like, I think I even shared this with you. Like I've cried over pizza. Like, I will never judge someone for being emotional and crying. Like,
yeah.
I cried over pizza when I was doing keto, and my now fiance made a DiGiorno's pizza and ate it right in front of me, and I just started crying.
Like, which I've known you for a long time, so it doesn't surprise me, right?
No.
Right.
Like, yeah. Not surprise you called me Cookie in middle school. Let's be honest.
We go back so far that like when I think of when you say you cried, I'm like, I remember me and like other guys teasing you, making you cry. And then when the teacher came back, I'm like, no, we're just kidding. Like, stop crying. You're the best. You know?
You're like, stop. Don't get us in trouble.
So yes, definitely. Now you've got into coaching and you said 8 years. That's obviously like, I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome when people, like my sister becoming a realtor, I think she always wanted to become one, but she was always fighting the, can I see myself doing it? And then she's there and now she's doing it. And now you're doing this. And that stuff inspires me. But as you've gotten going with your business? Maybe what are the like what have been one or two big struggles as you've been doing the business part of it?
There's a lot of struggles, especially so within the last couple of years. I'd say it's been 2 years now. That was around like January 2022. I was finally officially diagnosed ADHD. I think I've known my entire life, or at least since I got to college, that it was like the first time in college when I started to be like, maybe I am ADHD, but I've known like all through like elementary school, middle school, high school, there was like something. I felt very different. I felt very like, I don't know. I just, school was hard in the sense that like I love to learn, but could never focus on homework. And if it wasn't something that interested me, I didn't care about like math. Like, math was my struggle all the time. And I now know and understand that that was just because my brain is wired a little differently. And like my whole life made sense when I learned that. But, and like now I've been able to like incorporate techniques and like approaches that help me manage my ADHD. And I am medicated and it's life changing when I remember to take it because the ADHD kicks in and I get distracted in the mornings and I'm like, oh, squirrel, I'll come back to the meds later. Like, but that definitely factors into like starting a business and running it because there are like the uninteresting parts of running a business that like they're essential to running a business, but they don't give me the dopamine fix that I need to like stay focused. Like coaching, if I could just sit on client calls all day and coach clients, like running a business would be easy if that's what I could do. But there's like the admin, there's like the marketing, the outreach, the sales aspect of it, the, manage like the managing like your accounting. None of that is appealing to me. So it's very hard for me to manage those things. And like more than just the ADHD factor of them, it's just the like the monotonous, like, oh, like I gotta sit down and do these things. Like that factors in too. And then it's just the, I think a lot with our generation, the generation after us, we've gotten so used to like instant gratification. So staying motivated in the early stages of running a business, or like even once I'm like more established, there's going to be ebbs and flows to like based on like your client base and how many clients you're bringing in and how many clients you can take on, just given like where my life is at that point. So it's like staying motivated in the ebbs and flows. And of course, like as there are outside factors happening in your life that like are pulling your attention away from like running your business and trying to stay grounded and present and being there for your clients. Like, there's several factors, but I would say for me right now, the hardest has been staying motivated and staying on top of those more like admin oriented or like not as appealing aspects of running a business. That's really been the hard part. And right now, running a business while also working a 9 to 5.
Yeah, my that I can relate with that is when I worked in public accounting out of college for like 2.5 years or whatever it was, 2 years, I knew I wasn't going to make partner. I knew I wasn't going to be there long term, like maybe 3 to 4 years at most. But I always told myself, like, there are parts I like, but let's say if there's like 100% of this job that I like, I really love 20% of it. And there's like 80, 65 to 70% of it, for example, like tracking your time. I couldn't stand tracking my time working on six clients at once. I hated that so much. And because I didn't love that 20% of what I liked so much, it just really eats at you. Whereas like if I loved 80% of it, right? But the 20% was tracking your time or the admin stuff, I could wing. I could hold in and stick it out. And I feel like with coaching it, I'd hope that you like the majority of it and then there's parts of it. But I've been in those boats where it's like, damn, there's this part of it I just can't stand. So I can relate to that a little bit in terms of that. And if it is 80% of it, it's like, I can't do this anymore. But I would
Yeah, well, I
imagine,
think, oh, go ahead, sorry.
I would imagine in the early stages, right? If those things like marketing and accounting, as you are learning how to do it, takes up more time. But in the long run, you get it to the point where it's a little more efficient, right? And whatnot. So it'll take up less of your
Yeah,
time.
and I'm still in those like early phases, like I said. So like I have to get more used to like posting on social media and things like that. But like another aspect to like starting a business and running the business too, I've had to get used to is realizing that like you don't have to do it alone. Like, and I'm so lucky, the program that I went through for my certification, because I did like want to be certified and credentialed. It is like an amazing group of women that I now have this like huge community of other like business coach or like coaching coaches that like will have their own business that can then like when I'm stuck in an aspect, I can lean in and reach out to them and they can help me like unstick it because they've lived it. So that's huge, and realizing like you're not in it alone. There are other people that like you can lean in for like, how did you navigate this? Or like, what have you seen work? And then use that to like shift like or tailor your needs. And also I'm exploring outsourcing too. Like there are some of that like admin work or like that marketing and sales piece that can be outsourced. And that was hard for me when I like wanted to do it because I'm like, I'm not trying to take the easy way out. Like I still want to learn how to do all the things and I'll still be involved in like aspects. But if I could like delegate that a little, like most of that somewhere else so that I could spend more time doing the coaching, doing the thing like that 80% that I love, that would put me in a much better mindset and like place to be more present for my clients. So I'm kind of in the process of like exploring that and how that's going to work. But it took me like, it took my own coach telling me like, you're not taking the easy way out just because it's kind of that like working smarter, not harder aspect, like coming to that realization that I'm still just as much of an entrepreneur and I'm a coach and a business owner if I'm delegating that elsewhere, almost like more so because I'm realizing like where that my focus should be versus like where I'm identifying like my weaknesses or where I like I'm not as strong and where I could lean on someone who is more experienced in that. So.
Have you ever heard of the quadrants of like how you should spend your time in management? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, and I'm just kind of spitballing, but like, you know, high priority and high knowledge, right? High priority, high knowledge, that quadrant, we should spend most of our time. Low priority, low knowledge, like marketing, if that's not your strength and if you can afford to outsource it, or, you know, it's just not where your most value is. It's amazing, right? Like when people are inefficient at what they're doing, they might spend too much time in the wrong quadrant, right? And if they're not liking it, it's like, well, yeah, you could be spending more time in that high priority, high knowledge, but you got to set the business in a way to do that.
Yeah, my business coach, like similar, sorry. No, similarly, she like helped me like visualize there is like buckets of like, hey, like activities that contribute towards like your paid time and activities that contribute towards like non-paid or paid activities versus non-paid activities, like the admin aspects, the like even like the content creation really falls into like non-paid activities. Oh, that was weird. Sorry.
You raised your hand.
Hand gestures is like, I hate that. So I was like, oh wow, like this really puts into perspective, like I need to really be focusing on like paid activities and like actual like getting out there kind of outreach. And yeah, it definitely just changes that how you look at it.
Definitely. We've got Kalina Kasky on the plus one. What is your last name going to be? What's why well, I forgot, I don't know his last name.
Yeah, Bonfilio. So I'm finally getting that Italian last name.
You really are. You really are.
It's been like a long joke our entire relationship that like I'm only with you for the cool last name.
If you didn't have this last name, buddy, I'd be out of here.
Yeah. Well, so I've had to tell my family, like, you need to learn how to say my last name correctly before I actually take it.
Are you ready for rapid fire?
So let's do this.
Think fast. I'm kidding. There's no pressure here.
That's hard.
All right, here we go. Question one, favorite shoes to walk in?
Like slip-on comfy shoes.
Okay, you got a pair?
Prefer no shoes, but like if I have to, yeah, comfy shoes, like slip-ons, yeah.
Slip-ons, we're doing slip-ons with no laces. Nope. Window or aisle seat? Where are you sitting?
Ooh, that's tough, window.
Window, okay. What or who is inspiring you most in life right now?
Oh, this one's a hard one. I know, you tricked me. I think, like I said, like the women in the community that I've been through with my program, they just like hearing their stories is just so inspiring.
Beautiful. A movie that made you cry? when one comes to
mind. All of them. Any Disney Pixar movie ever created. I still cry to this day when I watch them. Never fails.
Lion King gets me.
Still. We saw the live action one, or like the most newest one, in theaters. Yeah. And my fiance looked over and I was like sobbing. And he was like, "You're embarrassing."
Little kids are like, "Why is she crying?
Who is this old woman?"
Who is more organized, you or your fiance?
Depends on what we're talking about. He is honestly, like, when it comes to like being like buttery, like dirty, like he's cleaner of the two of us. I just, like, ADHD, like I leave shit everywhere. So him. But when it comes to planning, 100% me. That is where my type A comes out.
Yeah, you're more of a planner. All right. Favorite store to shop in? Like, you could spend all day there. Any store you want. Any style of store. Grocery shopping, whatever. Where are you spending most of your time in one store? Your favorite.
No surprise, Target.
Target.
Okay. Or like a Home Goods type of thing where I don't have the money to spend on it, but I'll spend all day there looking.
Gotcha. All right. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me explain this one. A TV show that is famous, but you just never enjoyed it. Like, you just didn't get into it. But it's famous and very well known. Any that come to mind?
There's a lot, but I'm trying to remember their names. That's how memorable they were. There's a couple where, like, we've started to watch and you just can't get past, like, the first couple episodes. I can't think of the name of them, but there's, I would say, like, I think, like, Law and Order.
Oh, yeah.
I've got, like, a couple episodes, but, like, I love true crime, like that kind of stuff. I just, for some reason, I can never, like, get super into those.
All right, now this one should be easy. Favorite TV show of all time. What's your favorite TV show of all time?
It's also hard because we have a lot of favorites. The most recent one we watched, Peaky Blinders, has taken, like, the cake for me recently. Like, just cinematically, it was so well done. Like, I loved it.
Great actors, too. You get Sicilian, you get Tom Hardy.
Yeah, all the things. Yeah. He's, like, one of our favorite characters just because he's so funny. Like, his, like, little one-liners that he lets out.
Have you ever seen the show Taboo? There's only one season.
No.
If there's a show you would love, he's the main character. Go watch Taboo. There's only a few episodes, like, okay. 7 or 8 episodes. I watched it in college. Everyone's dying for season 2 for, like, the last 6 years. But anyways.
Yeah.
Great show. And if you like Tom Hardy, you'll like that. This one's
Absolutely.
Tough.
Absolutely.
Name a 5-letter word that starts with a K. Because you're Kalina Kasky. You know what I mean? We had to do it with a K.
Kitty.
Ooh, let's go.
I
had to
think about it for a second.
Let's go. Katie's going to be, like, happy about that. Okay. Best book that you've ever read.
I have a bad habit of... I love to read, but I'll pick up, like, 5 books and start them at the same time and not actually finish them.
I don't know how your brains work like that. Like, I have one book. I could never imagine another book in my life.
Well, I don't finish them. That's the problem. I will say, like, one book that I picked up, started reading, never finished. And I think I talked to you about this, like, last year when I was coaching you, was a book. And it just kind of gave me perspective on, like, how men and women think so differently. Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. And I would say that's a favorite just because it, like, everything made sense about every interaction I have with my fiance. Like, so every time now I'm, like, talking to him and he kind of has, like, a blank stare, I'm like, is this a blank square? And he's like, yeah, yep, no, not a single thought there right now.
I've used that so many times since those sessions. I'm like, listen, yeah. I'm not thinking about anything. Just, like,
I need to find it and actually finish it because I think I only got through, like, the first couple of chapters, but that was enough to make everything make sense.
But you love that book. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's find it. Here we go. First childhood memory that pops in your head of you and your sister. When I say that, like, what's the best first memory that pops in your head of you and your big sis?
There's a lot that I'm like, I don't know if they're actual memories or just, like, pictures and then hearing the story behind them. But it's hard to pinpoint, like, a specific one because we've been pretty close our entire lives. So it's almost like everything. I would say times like just playing in the snow in the winter and, like, building snowmen with, like, her and my dad.
Yeah.
And just, like, my dad then, like, throwing snowballs at her face at, like, ages, like 3 and however old she was. But yeah, that was probably And then you kind of get into the phase where, like, I got to be like the annoying little sister because she was cool and I wanted to be with her and her friends. And I was stealing all her clothes. But, like, looking back now, all of those are kind of favorite memories too, because, like, she was obviously like my hero then too. So I think, like, yeah, just everything with my sister.
Beautiful.
We, of course, like, fought and, like, almost killed each other several times, but it made us who we are today.
Definitely. You can travel back in time for one day. You travel back at any time in history for one day. What time period would you go to?
Time interesting is something super interesting to me, or time travel is super interesting to me, so I would want to go to all the times. I think that if had to be a single time, it would be like the Vikings era.
The Vikings?
We've gotten into, like, so we were really into the show, like, the Vikings, or Vikings, and what's the other one? The Last Kingdom. And I think ever since then, like, that's really cool to me. And then, like, I did, like, Ancestry DNA and things like that, and learned that, like, I have a little bit of, like, the, like, Scandinavian, like, the Vikings, like, history in me. And I'm like, well, then we have to go back.
We gotta go there. All right. One vice that you wish you could give up immediately. If you could give up one vice right now, what would it be immediately?
Shopping addictions, because I
wedding coming up, I need to stop shopping.
That just, like, it's been one, like, Trent and I, my fiance, we have regular talks about it. Like, we need to get our spending under control, and he doesn't spend money on anything. He spends, like, I have to force him to buy clothes, or I have to buy them for him, because I'm like, honey, like, you've been wearing the same thing since high school. But yeah, I will just, like, and it's me, like, I'm like, I see one thing where I'm like, oh, like, we could use this for the house, or the cat and the dog need this, and I'll just go buy it. Or, like, oh, like, today I don't feel like I have anything to wear, so I just go buy something new. So it's like those, and it's like the little things where, like, oh, this is just like a small cost, it's fine, but they add up so quickly. Up. And, like, man, yeah, our lives would be completely different if I would just stop spending money.
All right, Spender. Last one. If you could have one talent, a talent that you wish you had, what would it be?
I think for me, and this is something I'll say jealous of my fiance of, and I always thought I was really good at reading people. It would be, like, his ability to read people, and, like, their body language, their expression, and just, like, their mood. I always thought that I was really good at it. But then, like, I met him, and he's just really hard to read, because it's, I feel like his facial expressions never change, and, like, his, like, he's so even keeled that, like, no matter if he's mad or, like, excited, like, it's just, like, the same, like, not monotone, but there's just, like, he's very even keeled and hard to read. And he has just, like, this uncanny ability to read someone in, like, he'll shake their hand and, like, be able to tell basically, like, their life story.
So he's steady, very steady.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good job. We made it through.
Thanks. We did it. Thank God you didn't ask me, like, my favorite color or anything.
Oh, I don't know. No, I.
Yeah.
I figured that one was tough, though. Like, a famous TV show.
That was so hard.
That you don't like. And the reason I asked that question is because I have a few friends, coworkers, that's been asked to me a lot in the last year. Or they'll say, you know, that's a good question. Like, a TV show that everyone knows, but that you never liked. And I was like, just don't say The Office, because I love The Office, but I feel like, oh, that's a good one. Okay, cool. Yeah. I love that show. So,
yeah.
All right. Last question, closing question. Okay. Here we go. Are you ready for the closing question?
Let's do it.
After I just peppered you with, like, 20 questions. Here we go. If you could give advice to somebody who's starting out in coaching, starting their business, what would be the best piece of advice to give someone from your perspectives, from what you've learned?
A lot of things. But if I could have the biggest one, it would kind of go hand in hand with, like, what I coach around, but just, like, believe in yourself and, like, your why. Like, why do you even want to be a coach? Why are you doing the thing enough to pursue it, to take that chance on yourself? Like, and, like, one of the biggest learning lessons for me was, in order to get where I want to go and do what I want to do, there's going to be some level of having to invest in myself and the journey first. And, like, that's scary. but trust yourself enough and like your abilities to take the risk to invest in yourself, because like taking that chance on you, on yourself, and it alone will help build confidence in you. And like, it's almost like, oh shit, like now I just did this. I have to make it work. I have to figure out how to do it. But also, like, that's just showing that like you believe that like you have something to give to the world enough that you're going to spend your money on it too. So like one thing real quick, like,
go ahead.
No, otherwise, quick. Like, why would clients invest in you and your coaching and like what you do if you don't even believe in your ability to do it?
And since you're on that note and you just crushed that closing question, why Thank don't you. You tell people where they can go if they want to get in contact with you for coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to reach out to me on like social media, Instagram, Facebook. I'm on TikTok, but like I don't really post on there. Otherwise, I think Adam's going to throw the link in that I provided into the notes, the session notes, and feel free to reach out there. And I just have like on there, like a free discovery call, set that up and we can just chat. And yeah,
so they can, cause I'll put the link on our description of the episode. It'll be on social too. And then they go through that link and they can set up a discovery call with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
An easy way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Or like, if you want to like, even just ask like, what the hell is coaching? You can like reach out to like DM me on Facebook or Instagram and I'm happy to answer some questions first.
And you're still Kalina Kasky, KALENNA for Kalina Kasky,
yes.
KASKE
on
social. And then this new last name is coming hot though, man. This one's going to be hard for me to get down. Cause when I was,
just I already got the email cause I needed to nail it down.
When I emailed you, Bono, I'm not going to mess this up on there, but you know, like it popped up and I'm like, that's going to be different because Kasky was just nice and easy.
Yeah, super easy. Yeah. I know everyone's like, because I like struggled a little bit with like, as much as like I'm dying to take the cool Italian last name, there's like that little bit of like identity crisis of I've been Kasky my entire life. I'm like the last like Kasky kid.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's kind of that like, and everyone's like, well, why don't you hyphenate? And I'm like, all right, well, Kalina Kasky Bonfiglio would be a lot to write. So I've like debated on like maybe like making it my middle name to still include it. But yeah, it's just too much to write on a little, like when you're filling out a check or like all your forms.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you for coming on the Plus One. Thank you for believing in yourself and doing coaching, because it is your passion and it's where you should be. I'm happy you're doing it. Proud of you. You inspire me. So keep doing what you're doing. Probably going to need to schedule a session with you or two, because your boy needs help getting off the phone. We'll talk about that on the side so people know that, hey, we all need coaching. Adam needs coaching. Adam's Plus One is a place where we're real here. So thank you so much. Really, it's been a joy. So hope you have a great rest
of
your day.
Thank you. Yeah, you too. Can I snap a picture of us real quick?
Of course, dude. Snap a picture. Let's go.
Let's go. Let me get that. Perfect. Perfect. Then I'll just do that as a little teaser.